Hello and welcome to the Mark Marshall podcast series with me, your host, Caroline Kelleher, and Mark Marshall. Hi, Mark.
How's it going?
Okay, so today we are talking, and I'm really looking forward to this. We are talking about the honeybee.
Yes, the honeybee. Oh, my goodness. The honeybee has got so many stories, and honeybees, everybody loves honeybee. I mean, just the other day, there was a beehive in one of the water samples that I had to do, and then I actually got hold of the company and said, I can't do the sample because there's a beehive. And the first thing they said is, oh, like a honey. And straight away, they didn't care that I might get stung or something, but like a honey. Everyone associates a bee with the wellness, goodness, because of the honey factor. Okay, now, bees, they work hard. I'm not lying. They work so hard. They only live for about 6 or 7 weeks, and that's it. In that 7 weeks, they have done a world of good to their hive for the colony. Mm-hmm. Everything with bees involves around their huge, huge colony. Have you seen the bee movie? Everything is the colony. Everything is run. Every little bee has got a job. You know, when that little bee leaves the hive in the morning, he goes out, he comes back. He actually doesn't go out to get food. He comes back and he's a messenger for the other bees. And he does that figure of eight little dance and everything. He shows the bees exactly where to go to get their food for the day. Mm-hmm. And then the whole, not the swarm, but half of the swarm of the workers will go out and they will all get the food. And they'll bring it back in the form of pollen, obviously. And they'll have a drink of nectar, stuff like that. Right? So this is what actually happens. But all the bees, worker bees, are female. Okay.
Oh, the queen. That's discrimination.
I know, the queen is a female, obviously. But you get the drones, which are the males.
Okay, yeah.
Now, the drones, their only purpose in life is to mate with the queen so that she can make eggs. The queen is the most valuable little unit inside that whole swarm. Not because they are loyal to their queen, but they know the queen is the survival of their swarm. Without the queen, their swarm dies.
Yeah.
Now, what happens if the queen dies? Very, very clever. They get a baby little egg. Mm-hmm. They start feeding the egg royal jelly, and that little baby turns into a queen, queen. So that's what happens. So if they don't like the queen, they start making queen chambers, different ones, and they start making new baby queens.
What do you mean if they don't like the queen?
She's not producing enough eggs. She's not doing what they want her to do. The queen is actually the slave of the swarm. She's the one. Her only job is to lay eggs. That is it.
Yeah.
And if they even feed her. They look after it. They groom her. They do everything.
Fascinating.
Because she is the most important part of the actual swarm. Now, what happens if there's no drones in the swarm to mate with the queen? No problem. These little workers go and they steal the drone from another hive. And they bring him back to mate with the queen. So this is what happens. The queen is the most important. So when I go and remove a swarm of bees, I will make sure I get the queen first. Because they will follow wherever the queen goes. Simply because she's the most important thing. Not because, oh, they love their queen. They miss their queen. No, no, no. It's because of that. And her pheromone, she gives off a pheromone. Mm-hmm. If you catch her and you put her in your little matchbox and you hold the matchbox up, she'll release a pheromone and call for the whole swarm, and they'll all hang underneath their hand like that after the queen because she's most important. And that's the main thing with them. Now, when people always tell you they're attacked by bees, now the swarm of bees attacked me while I was walking in the field and all of a sudden I got attacked. Now, a bee has got obviously a sting. Now, when it stings you, it doesn't know that it's going to die. Everyone knows that a bee can sting other things, other insects, animals, and not die. But if it stings a human, then it'll die because the sting actually gets attacked into the skin and pulled out of locks inside. And then obviously the poor bee flies away and then dies afterwards. Okay, because half everything gets pulled out of it. So it's very, very sad. But it also releases something called a pheromone, which is a smell meaning attack. So if you're in the field or in your garden, you run around, you stand on a bee, it stings you, pheromone's released, but there's no bees around. There's only that one little bee, so no other bee knows to attack.
Yeah, okay.
But if you are within 50 meters of a hive and all of a sudden you get stung by a bee there, that pheromone reaches that hive in about 3 seconds.
Sure.
And every bee will come out, attack mode, to attack where that smell is.
Gosh.
And that's why they attack you all the time. And every little sting you have radiates that scent.
That same pheromone.
So that's what actually happens all the time. So if you're walking past, I know people don't walk around with drones in their pockets, but you get stung by a bee and you're a half, quickly spray that, boom, and then you hide the pheromone and then you won't get stung. But it's amazing how they are so reliant and protective because of the fact that pheromone just sets off like it. So that is the main thing with the actual bee. Now, people feeding bees, Yeah, people love feeding the bees. And that's a good thing because remember we had the big fires a few years ago.
Yeah.
And those fires killed thousands of swarms of bees. So bee farmers were really having a hard time. And then we had a drought. So these poor bees didn't have any food, nothing. So a lot of people made the little syrup with the sugar water and all that. But just remember, if you do that, you make a little bird bath and you put in your sugar water, put marbles or something in the water too, because a lot of the bees drown. Now, another big myth about bees, smoking the bees. You take a big smoke and you smoke the bees and they become calmer. Because a lot of people think that the smoke drugs the bees. So every time you're going to go steal honey from your swarm, you can't just go up there and grab some honey out. The bees are going to attack you like it's the most very, very protected thing ever. So they're going to attack you no matter what. So you smoke the hive first. In other words, you put smoke in. You get a little smoker and puffs out smoke and it makes the bees drugged. That's what they say. But it's not actually true. What happens is when the bees smell the smoke and they detect the smoke, they send a signal in the whole hive. Listen, a house is on fire. So we have to abandon ship.
Okay.
So all the bees open their honey again and they start drinking their own honey because they don't know when they're going to get food again. So that's why they drink so much
survival
honey.
Survival instinct.
They get honey. And what happens when you have a full tummy?
You want to, yeah, you want to go to sleep.
And that's what happens to the bees.
Gosh.
They drink so much honey, they go, oh my goodness, steal my honey, I don't care. Now that's what actually happens.
Mark, you know, in the media, we are all aware of this. If the bees are gone, we can't carry on.
That is true.
Just explain that.
You know, you get your flowers. How on earth is that flower actually going to have fruit? Flower cannot have fruit unless the pollination is mixed and the bee is the one that does the pollination. There are other pollinators, but no insect does it as well as the bee.
But why are the bees endangered?
A couple of things. If you go to a huge big farm where the person is actually sprayed poisons to protect his fruit or to protect... Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, the little bee gets the poison.
Okay.
And the bee flies with that poison and he's just alive long enough to go back to the hive.
Okay.
And he poisons the whole hive like that. Or you get any kind of virus or bacteria that gets into the hive. Boom, that's what happens.
Okay.
Honey badger comes along, rips up, which is the natural thing, rips up a hive, he kills a swarm just to get that. So it's very, very... a swarm, although they're so aggressive and powerful... They're weak. They need our help to literally be protected all the time. This is what happens.
And, you know, there's a lot of talk about, for us as consumers, that we should be buying sustainably sourced honey.
Yes. Yeah.
Just explain why that's important.
You know, the bees, the reason why they make honey is for their food reserves. You know, in case times are lean, they have something to rely on. And now they all store their food. Now, we come along, a bad beekeeper will normally have 10 frames inside your hive. And all the frames are full of honey. You get a double story. The bottom frames are where the brood is, where the queen stays, where she lays all her eggs. And then you get the top one, which is just the honey, basically, where she doesn't go in and lay her eggs in there. So that is pure honey. But now, remember... You've got a huge, big cold season coming up now. You're not going to have many plants available, so they can't make as much honey. So you come along and you take all 10 of those sites away and you put 10 fresh frames in with no honey in.
Mm-hmm.
And now the bees don't have any food. So that swarm will crash.
Okay.
So that's why if you do it sustainably and properly, you'll remove maybe 4. Leave half for the swarm
in
case.
Yeah.
Now, that's what I do. When I go, I remove 2 frames. And I promise you, there's so much honey that comes out of those 2 frames. Mm-hmm. Like, I get honey for weeks and I'm almost sick of honey because there's so much of it. And leave some for the bees. You've got to leave for the bees. And if not, then you got to feed them. Really, really help them out. So that's why. Don't take it all.
Which are the honeys that we say, right, this is a sustainably sourced...
A lot of the guys, people are proud of their honey. They'll put their number. They'll put that label and they'll put their personal phone number on it.
Okay.
Phone that number and ask the person, how do you rub your bees? How do you go about this?
Right.
How do you do that and everything? And if they come with the good answers, then you can buy from that person.
Okay.
That's what I always do. Just make sure you see the South African logo and that is great and all, but still phone the person, phone the company, find out all the information.
Great.
Then you know at least you're getting honey that's not watered down. That's totally 100%.
Okay.
And also, the bees weren't hurt too badly in actually removing that honey.
The bees get hurt?
How do you prevent the queen from getting up laying her eggs in a double story? I mean, she can go up there if she wants to, but she doesn't. But now what happens in the old days, you put a net. So small enough holes, so only the workers can get through and the queen can't. So she gets stuck. But every time the worker goes through, it hurts its wings. Every time it goes through. And its legs. So that's why it's not very good. So what we do now, we've realized, wait a minute, the queen actually lives in the middle of the swarm. Mm. So if you put a piece of black plastic over between the double stories, allowing the bees access on the sides to go up, and they don't get hurt. The queen stays at the bottom.
Okay. So that's we like
much
that.
Better way of doing it. So that's what we do.
And on that positive note, we'll end our podcast for this session and just say thank you once again for the work that you do, Mark, and a reminder that beyond Mark's work in conservation, he is passionate about educating young minds through Sandula Kids. This initiative offers a range of educational and informative talks for schools, birthday parties, and events. And if you would like to sign up your youngster or get their school involved, go to sandula.co.za. Mark, thank you so much for your time. Until next time, bye.
Your digital library experience. Podcasts from algoafm.co.za.